If you've been following along in the bulletin, you notice, well, Pastor Doug is the one that's supposed to be giving our message this morning, but got a call from Pastor Doug just yesterday afternoon. He said he's come down with a bug in his throat, so he's doing a lot of coughing. And he said, you know that new guy that we just hired, James? Call James. See if he's available. Yeah. It's a delight to have James with us, Pastor James Mangum. We go back a long way. His wife, Tanya. We started ministry together, many years ago.
Yeah, many years ago.
In Missouri, we were pastors. We went on a mission trip to India, memorable mission trip many years ago. It was wonderful. But he just recently came on board at Amazing Facts. He was pastoring in the New York conference. He was also doing conference work. Yeah. But he's just joined the Amazing Facts ministry, so you'll get to hear Pastor James from time to time.
Amen.
We are grateful that he's stepped in, and he'll be bringing us the message. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Ross. Well, good morning. Happy Sabbath. What a beautiful morning. Amen. We came from New York City, and one of the changes that we noticed when we got here was the weather. You don't like rain, and you don't apparently like snow. And so the day we left New York City, it started snowing and has been cold and snowing ever since, I'm sure, as you follow the weather. So it has been a pleasant surprise to be in an area now where you have sunshine. Is it 365? Is that what you say? Sunshine 365? Even when it's raining, the sun is out. Amen? So what a blessing. And so I am thankful for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. I did learn a lesson last night. When Pastor Ross calls you on Friday after 4 o'clock, don't answer the phone. Unless it's from the Lord, right? Then you better answer the phone. And so here we are. So I appreciate the opportunity, and we do want to pray for our dear brother, Pastor Doug, and his recovery. And so I'd like to share with you this morning something that is on my heart that has been a blessing. It's something that maybe not many are familiar with, but a little letter that Paul wrote touches in so many ways. So if you would please, let us pray together. Father in heaven, this morning, as we open your word and as we take some time to look at this letter that was written so long ago, may your Holy Spirit be poured out upon us. Bless us as we are here in the church. Bless those that are watching online and those that may be watching later, Father. May we sense your great love for each of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to take them out, or your cell Bible, but we're going to be using them this morning. I want to begin with a text that kind of sets the stage for the letter that we're going to be looking at. So if you have your Bibles, if you could turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. In this chapter, we find a lot of insights into what Jesus is doing. But in verse 25, we have a text that is so powerful. It, to me, really resonates because I believe it tells us what's happening right now, where we're living in Earth's history, and what Jesus is doing. If you have your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, therefore he, speaking of Jesus, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always, and what does it say? Lives to make intercession for them. So God is able, through Christ and Christ's intercession, to save all of those that come to him. So that means if you come to him, salvation is available. If I come to him, salvation is available. A powerful passage telling us what Jesus is doing right now. I'd like to read for you, if I may, an inspired statement that goes like this. What is Christ doing in heaven? Good question, amen? He is interceding for us. By his work, the threshold of heaven is flushed with the glory of God, which will shine upon every soul who will open the windows of the soul heavenward. As the prayers of the sincere and contrite ones ascend to heaven, Christ says to the Father, watch this. This is what Jesus is saying to the Father. Watch this. I will take their sins. Let them stand before you innocent. Amen. I will take their sins, let them stand before you innocent. As he takes their sins from them, he fills their heart with glorious light of truth and love. What an exchange, right? He takes the sin and fills it with, what does it say? truth and love. That's what I need. I need truth, amen? I need love in the world that we're living in today. And what's so incredible that right here in the book of Hebrew, if you just turn back a couple of pages, you come to the letter that we're going to look at this morning. It's one chapter, it's 25 verses, but it is so full of incredible insight into this whole idea of Jesus interceding for us, of Jesus being the one who says, I want to unite with you, I want to connect my life with you. And so we are going to look at this together this morning, because we all, as it says in Romans, have sinned and come short of the glory of God, amen? So we all need a Savior. We all need someone who is going to intercede for us. And this letter, I remember the first time I read it, I didn't grasp what was happening there. It was sometime later, I think, when I was reading, I discovered that this letter was a letter of intercession, that this was a letter written by Paul to intercede for someone who needed intercession. Someone that if you were to ask people in the world, is he worthy, they would say no. So let us go here together. Philemon chapter 1, verse 1. Paul begins, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Right here at the beginning, it's interesting because Paul is identifying himself with the one that he's about to write about. We have in this story of a man named Onesimus who for some reason, somehow, had a problem with his owner, Philemon, and as a result, he had to flee for his life. Now, what it was that he did, the Bible does not tell us exactly. What it was that he was involved with, we don't know. But this we know, that whatever he did was of such a caliber, of such a nature, that he felt he couldn't stay where he was and that he needed to flee for his life. Now, Onesimus was a slave. So you have to understand that the commitment to flee, to become a fugitive, to run away, was huge. Because history tells us what happens to those during this time of Roman history, of those who fled as slaves. You see, if they were caught, they could be flogged, they could be whipped. As a matter of fact, I was just reading recently that they would sometimes even brand the individual on their forehead so everybody would know what kind of person they were. Not only this, if you would look at the story, he was going from Colossians all the way to Rome. This was over 1,000 miles. What was it that he possessed that allowed him to make his way as a slave all through down to get over to Rome? But he left, and he made his way to Rome. What's amazing is that he thought that he could run away from his problems. Now think about that for a minute. He thought he could run away to a city where he could hide out, where he could get lost in the masses of Rome, that he could go to a place where he could run away from his problems. How many of us have thought that we could run away and find somewhere to get away from our problems? Have you ever met people that have run from one church to another church to try to get away from their problems? Have you ever met fathers that try to run away from their responsibilities to the family? Have you ever met somebody that thought that they could run and somehow get away? But you know, the Bible tells us, if you have your Bibles, notice this text in Psalm 139. It's beautiful. David talks about this. Where can you run from Jesus? Amen? Psalm 139, and notice what it says here. Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Now that word hell, please understand, is talking about the grave, not some endless burning fire, which that'll be a story for another day. It's talking about the grave. He says, where can I go? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to the grave, you're there. Where do we flee from God's spirit? How many of us have tried to run away? We try to get away, but Jesus says, I'm with you always. You see, it's the devil that tells you to run. Amen? It's the devil that says, you're guilty, you're caught, run, try, get somewhere. You think about in your life, what has it been that has led you to this place this day? God in his way has worked. I remember when I was young, I was trying to run from the Lord. My goal when I was a teenager was to be a lead guitarist in a heavy metal band. I went and got the guitar, I went and got the app, I went and got the leather jacket, I went and got the friends who looked like they wanted to be in a band, and we would get in a garage, and we'd make all kinds of noise. Now, if you ever heard heavy metal, you may think that's what we were playing. But you know what? I was running this way, and God said, wait a minute, young man. I have a plan for you. Never in my life did I ever think I'd be a pastor. Never. But God says, I have a plan for you. You can run to a garage, you can run to another city, but you can't run from Jesus. Hallelujah. And he called me, and here I am preaching today. What a God we serve. Amen. Onesimus runs to Rome thinking that in Rome somehow he could hide away, that nobody would find him, that nobody would catch him, that he would be in a place that was safe. But watch how God works. This man, a slave, a fugitive, runs away over 1,000 miles to this incredible city. Rome was huge. And of all the people that he met, of all the people he came in contact with all the ones that God arranged, guess who he met? Paul. What was that like? I can't wait to get to heaven and ask Paul. What were you doing, Paul? Because what was Paul? He was a prisoner. What was Paul? He was chained. What was Paul? How is it that Paul gets in connection with a person who the world saw as of no value? How is it that God connected Paul with somebody that would begin a relationship that would be so recorded and kept for us to this day? The amazing way in which God works is unbelievable. They're past finding out, amen? And God connects this runaway slave with Paul. He gets connected with Paul. He's talking with Paul. He's working with Paul. And as a result of this, Onesimus has a conversion experience. How is it that has touched your life? Or should I ask, whose life are you touching? Because you see, Paul was a prisoner. Paul was in chains. Paul could have very easily said, you know what? My work is done, right? I've been a missionary. I've traveled. I've done everything. Now I'm a prisoner. My work is done. Let the rest of the people do it. But even though he's in jail, he's always looking for an opportunity to win souls. What should we be doing, especially in this time that we're living? Should we not be looking at every opportunity as an opportunity to win souls? Who knows who you sit next to? Who knows who you get in contact with? That individual may be like an Onesimus running for their lives, looking for freedom from slavery. Not just the slavery of the chains of the person that he was connected with, but slavery from sin. And so here we have this story. I'd like to look at this. You know, it had to be an incredible example that Paul gave for this young man, right? Because this young man felt like he could be connected to Paul too. He didn't fear him. He wasn't afraid that he was going to turn him in. So Paul begins this letter because what's happened is Paul has been like a father to this young man. Paul has been a support for this young man. And the story has come out, well, I'm a runaway slave. I'm a fugitive. And he said, well, where did you run from? Of all the ways in which God works. Where did you run from? My master's name was Philemon. He lived in Colossae. Wow, what? I know Philemon. Philemon and I are like good friends. Look, God has touched your life. It's time for you to make your life right with the Lord. It's time for you to go back and make amends. It's time for you to go back. And so I'm going to write a letter and I'm going to send it back. And this is incredible because Onesimus at this point now has given his life to the Lord and he's ready to have a new experience. He's ready to be set free. He's ready to take off the chains of the sinful life. And he's ready to do whatever it takes to make it right with the Lord and to make it right with Philemon. And so he says, I'm going to go back. And Paul sends Onesimus and several other disciples with letters that ended up in Colossians, Ephesians. So they're making their way all the way back, and he gets there. And I want us to pick up this story because you think about how bold that had to be or how much courage it took for this slave to go back to his master. And all he had was a letter in his hand from an aged prisoner himself. But he's got to go back. And so he walks up. Now, there's no indication that Philemon even knew what was in the letter. So it took bravery, it took courage, and he took that letter and he goes back. If you have your Bibles, I want to look at this now, and we're going to pick it up in verse 3 and go down through several verses. And watch the parallel that we set the stage with Jesus in Hebrews chapter 7, 25. Look at the parallels, and I want you to watch while we see how Paul intercedes for this man just like Jesus intercedes for me. How Jesus intercedes for you. So watch here, verse 3. Let's go together. Philemon chapter 1, verse 3. Grace to you and peace from our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Now, just, we have to pause there for a moment because you've got to understand again. What is Paul? He's a prisoner. He's in chains. He's soon to give his life for ministry. And what is he doing? He's praying for somebody over 1,000 miles away. He's still, the problem that the devil has with some people like Paul is, no matter how many problems, no matter how many difficulties, they won't stop praying for themselves and others. Paul is one of those. The devil has great success with a lot of us. He knows that if he gives enough problems to people, if he gives them enough burdens, if he gives them enough trials, if he makes life so difficult, they will give up praying for other people. Brothers and sisters, please don't. I need your prayers. My family needs your prayers. I haven't met all of you yet, but I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, bless all the people that are in Granite Bay and who may watch on Amazing Facts Television. I ask the Lord to pray for it. Does God know you individually? Amen. He does. Does he know me individually? Yes, he does. And here Paul could have used any excuse to not be praying for somebody, and what is he doing? I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord and Jesus Christ, toward all the saints. A beautiful greeting. Verse 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Now watch what happens. Watch what Paul now does. He gives a beautiful greeting. My dear friend, I'm praying for you. Glad to hear the Lord is working in you. But now I have to ask something special. Now I have to intercede. And brothers and sisters, listen as Paul writes. Therefore, we're starting in verse 8. Therefore, verse 8, it says here, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being a such a one as Paul, the age, the now also prisoner. He's making it again because he's about to ask for forgiveness of a prisoner, and Paul's saying, well, I'm a prisoner also. Jesus associates with us, does he not? Verse 10, I appeal to you now for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you. You know what the name Onesimus means? It means profitable. And now he uses a play on words. He says, his name was profitable. He was one time profitable to you, but he did something and he fled and he's unprofitable to you. But now I'm saying through Jesus Christ, he is profitable to you again. Isn't that amazing? Watch this. He says, yet I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. Mentions again, he's in chains. Who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Well, what was Onesimus doing with Paul? He was converted. He was helping him in the ministry. If you were to read tradition, we can't validate a lot of this about what they say about him, but they believe he became one of the big pillars in Rome for the church. As a matter of fact, they say that when he was 65, he was stoned to death. He was a martyr. Saint Onesimus gave his life to do work for Jesus. Gave his life. He was helping Paul, and here he's now Paul appealing to Philemon. This young man has potential. This young man can do great things. Who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I'm sending him back. Now watch this. You therefore receive him. Now, who's writing this? Paul. What kind of man is Paul? If I may take a liberty, I think Pastor Doug Batchelor is like a Paul today. Amen? Somebody who has given his life to do ministry. Somebody who has given up a lot of what this world has to do ministry. Paul was a brilliant man. He was an educated man. He was a man who could have done a lot of things. But God called him, and he made that sacrifice to do everything for the cause. So Paul, now, you know we have most of the New Testament from Paul, right? That's the kind of champion of faith we have. And notice how Paul is sharing with Philemon this connection that he now has with Onesimus. He says, I am sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart. He's not just saying, take this slave back. He's not just saying, take this fugitive back. He's not saying, many believe he stole something. Don't take this thief back. He says, when you take Onesimus, I want you to receive him as you're receiving my very own heart. Now, you for a moment understand that when Jesus takes your case, when Jesus takes your life and he goes to the Father and he presents you to the Father, he says, Father, take James as you would take my very own heart. Oh, brothers and sisters, if that's not love, you think about what you are. Think about what kind of person you've been. Think about what might be happening now. But Jesus still wants to intercede for you. And he doesn't just say, hey, here's this kid from Kansas. It was all messed up. Lord, if you got time, would you help him out? He doesn't say that about you and all of what you've done or whatever's been done to you. He doesn't come there and says, you know, this person, they're not really the best, but we got to fill heaven with someone. We don't want the devil to get everybody, so can you please stick them in somewhere? No, that's not what Jesus does. He looks past who we are. He looks past what we've done. He looks past what's been done to us, and he says, Father, receive them as you would receive my very own heart. What a love letter that is. What an amazing intercession that is for every one of us. He says, receive my very own heart. Wow, what a God, what a love. Verse 13, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. So he's saying, look, I wanted to keep him. That's how good he is. That's how beneficial he's been. But I know he needs to make it right with you. And I know that you own him, if we could say such a thing. But I need you to know he's an amazing person. And I want him to be set free. And he goes on here, he says, verse 13, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. Verse 14, but without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntarily. He's asking, would you please forgive him? That's what the Father hears from Jesus. Would you please forgive them? Brothers and sisters, God wants to forgive you. God wants to remove the guilt. So once he does, guess what? Let it be forgiven. Let it be removed. Don't go back to it. In this story, we find that once he's set free, Onesimus doesn't go back. He's set free, let it go. It's the devil that wants to remind you what you've done. It's the devil who wants to take you back to what you've been. It's the devil who wants to remind you you're a sinner. It's Jesus that said, yeah, you were a sinner, but now you've been saved by amazing grace. Paul keeps going on, though. He keeps going on. He says, but without your consent, I don't want to do this. Notice here in verse 15, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. Notice what this is saying. He says, maybe it was even God's will that he stole and ran away to Rome, 1,000 miles, and got connected with me so that he could meet Jesus. What's your story? What's your testimony? How did you meet Jesus? How was it that you got connected? How is it that today you're watching online. What way has God shaped your life to bring you to this point today? To say, I love you, that I want to accept you, that I want to offer you forgiveness, that I want you to be with me. Don't allow those thoughts that are, yeah, but I'm not good enough. Well, who is? Well, I'm not like this, or I'm not like that. God loves us, and he wants us to keep fresh with him. I have a text I want to read to you. If you have your Bibles, notice this here. Isaiah chapter 49. Keep your finger there in Onesimus and Philemon, because we'll be coming back. But turn to the book Isaiah. Look at this text. Isaiah chapter 49. Look at verse 13. Some of you may know this by heart. Actually, we'll go down to verse 14. No, we'll do 13. I'm sorry. Let's do it. It's too good. Verse 13. Sing, O heavens. Be joyful, O earth, and break out into singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. That's the cry of so many people. I've had so many experiences where people said, well, God couldn't accept me because of what I've done. God doesn't accept me because of who I am. That's not true. Isaiah's writing here, everybody should be singing, everyone should be rejoicing, because what? God does remember you. God does want to come and take care of you. Notice it says in verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing son and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Amen. Verse 16, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Man, you know, that means that every time Jesus is working, he sees us. The Bible tells us he's in the most holy place, working. And every other time, he has us engraved on his hands. So that means that every day when he comes into the most holy place, we're there. Wherever we are, he's got us engraved. That is love, friends. That's going the extra mile. That's going all the way. That's saying I'm all in for you and for me. That's saying that I now have you on my heart and I will never take you off. I want you to come to me. And here we have this beautiful passage that says, man, if a mother could, I remember when I was little, I think, man, how could a mother ever forget their child? But you know what? There's stories out there, right? If you watch the news, there's stories out there. But God says, even if a mother could do that, I can't, because I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. I'm all in. My blood flows for you. My cries to the Father are for you. I have given everything for you. So please, notice verse 15. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose. All things work together for good. Amen? Even going all the way to Rome, running away, God had a plan, and he reached him. Verse 16. But he's saying, I want you to receive him. And notice what he says here. No longer a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. Now, you think about that for a moment, what Paul is asking this man. Philemon was a wealthy man. We know that he had slaves. We know that he played a big part in the church there as he grew. But he was a man that was accustomed to dealing with a certain type of people, dealing with certain classes of people, dealing with slaves. And here, Paul is not saying, I want you just to take him back as a slave. I want you to take him back as a what? As a brother. Do you understand what that's asking? Do you understand the caliber of people that slaves were seen to be? And now here is this wealthy man, and Paul is not just simply saying, I want you to put him back to work in your household. I want you to receive him what? As a brother. Yeah. That's what God is doing for us, right? You know, it says in the Bible that we are to be kings and priests, and that the Bible tells us in Revelation we are to sit on God's throne with him. Can you imagine? Wow! God doesn't want you just as another person. He wants you as his brother. as a sister. It is amazing to me the love that Paul has and the boldness that he has to say this to him. I want you to not take him as a slave, verse 16, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He's saying, look, this is an incredible opportunity for you. Then in verse 17, he goes on again. If then you count me as a partner, receive him. Now notice this. Receive him. What is Onesimus? He's a slave. He's a fugitive. He's ran away, probably a thief. He says, when you bring this young man back into your house, I want you to treat him the same way you would treat me, Paul. And when we think about what God wants to do for us in heaven, Jesus makes that same request. Father, I don't want them just to be in some corner stuck over in the back of Jerusalem. I don't want them to be just at the gate. I want them to come in and have full citizenship. I want them to have full benefits of the heavenly courts. I want them to have all access. I was happy this morning since I started working in Amazing Facts. They gave me a fob, right? So this is how you use the fob to get in. So I have pretty much all access over at the building, and I felt pretty special that day because I'd go around and I would try. Don't tell them, but I'd go around and I'd try. Boop, I can get in here. Of course, there's cameras everywhere, and they may change my fob after today. But I said, you know, look, we may need to get into the church, so could you adjust my fob so I could get into the church? And they're like, yeah, we could do that. So over for where the fellowship hall is, I buzzed on that, and boom, the door opened. I'm like, oh, wow, that's so cool. And then last week for prayer meeting, we were waiting to get in, and the doors were locked. And I said, well, hey, I got all, let me see how this works. Bzz, oh, hey, I could get into the chapel now. I'm like, man, I'm feeling really special right now. And then I went back this morning to get into the back room, which, you know, is off limits. Try to get in. It's locked. So I went up there. I'm like, let me see. Bzz, the door opened. I'm like, oh, do I have an all-access fob to the Granite Bay Seventh-day Adventist Church? How amazing is that? I need to go try John, Pastor Ross's office. Should I try Pastor Doug's too? Bzz, see, no, I will. Better put this away before they take it away, huh? All access. Receive this slave as you would receive me. Oh, it's so humbling when I think about this, about what Paul was saying. And then he goes on, as if that's not enough. Receive him, verse 19, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. Well, I have to back up. I'm sorry. Verse 17. If you then count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put it on my account. Could it get any better? Could it get any sweeter? Look at this. This is where we believe that the reason why we think that Onesimus may have stolen something from his master, Philemon. So if you sin, what does Jesus say? Put it on my account because I went to the cross for that. Because you know what the Bible tells us, right? The wages of sin is what? So if you sin today, right now, what do you deserve? It'd be a little odd if we all started falling over right here in the church, right? You go out in the parking lot, and there's people all over in the parking lot. They're like, whoop, we know what happened to them, right? Boy, you were just in the church, couldn't even make it to your car before you start sinning again. Laying out there. And he says, whatever he owes. It must have been quite a bit because, again, you have to think where he was as a slave running for his life over 1,000 miles. That was not getting in a car, not getting in a Tesla and driving over there. He had to walk or try to get a ship. He had to pay for the ship. a lot of them were branded with some kind of metal around their neck or something, so he had to get that off. Well, who are you going to pay to get that off? How much did he take to get him all the way there? And Paul's now saying something here, but if he has wronged you or owes anything, put it on my account. Oh, praise the Lord. And then Paul says, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. Because you know why he had to say that, right? Because when Philemon is reading this from Onesimus, where'd you get this? Where did you get this? Who gave this to you? Did you steal this like you stole from me? Makes sense, right? He's a thief. Because what I'm reading is too good to be true. What I'm reading here is too good. It's not possible that Paul, I know Paul, Philemon's saying, I know Paul. Paul and I work together. I'm in the church because of Paul. And now Paul has sent you back to me with this letter saying whatever, I'll take it and cover it. You see, that's what the world, when they hear what Jesus wants to do for you, find it hard to believe. You know why? Because unfortunately, we're mean to each other. We're so mean to each other. And too many of us, when we do bad things to people or someone does something bad to us, we think that that's how our Father in heaven is. And unfortunately, we judge our Father in heaven by the way that people here judge instead of reading the Word of God, because this is who our Father is. This is who our Father is. Our Father is like Jesus comes and he says, James, you take him like you receive my own heart. The heart of Jesus? How humbling is that? And whatever he's done, if he owes anything, put it on my account. I'll cover him. That's the good news of the gospel. How can you say no to that? How can we walk away from that? Wow, what a letter. He says, but I want you to know I'm writing this with my own hand. So you can't say someone forged it. You can't say, no, no, I'm doing this. Yes, brother. Let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Now he's rejoicing, believing that Philemon will do what he's asking, and now he's happy. Because I'm so happy. Philemon is an amazing person. He's going to do amazing things for the church of God. And I already know you're going to take care of these things, and you're going to help him, and he's going to go on to do great things. Brothers and sisters, God is asking us today, give your best for the master. Give what you have. You say, well, I can't get up and preach. That's okay. You can get on your knees and pray. Amen. You say, well, I'm not comfortable passing out books. That's okay. Pass out your checkbook. I'm sure, do they take checks here in Amazing Facts? I think you can even do auto pay, right? You have a credit card? Go ahead and get that out now and swipe that. They'll be in the back to collect. Can I do something for the master? Oh, yes, you can. Should we? Yes, we should. What happens? When you bless others, we get blessed. And Paul's laying this out. Having confidence in verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. That's the way to wrap it up right there, amen? See, when I get to heaven, God's going to put a gold crown on my head. He's going to give me a white robe. He's going to give me a stone with my new name on it. And then I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus. All access. And he's going to do more than that. But guess what? We got to get there to see what it is. Amen? So the invitation is there. Come on. Verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me. I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to come to you. Paul said, one day I'm going to come over there and see you. Go ahead and get ready for that. In my Father's house, or how many mansions? Doesn't that fit well right there? In my Father's house are many mansions. Brothers and sisters, there's a mansion for you. We have a high priest that is interceding for us. And it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, or what's happened to you. He says, I'll pay for it. I'll cover it. I'll do whatever it takes. And the father says, okay, I accept you. I love you. I'll receive you. Don't hesitate. Don't put it off. Today, right now, say, Lord Jesus, just like Paul intercede for Onesimus, Lord Jesus, intercede for me so that I one day may be in your kingdom. Amen. Amen. Let us close with a hymn today. It's different than what's in our bulletin. We're going to look at Covered with His Life, hymn 412. Let's sing together hymn 412, Covered with His Life.
Please join us in standing.
Priest is doing for us now. So Lord Jesus, please, we accept it. Cover our lives, wash us, cleanse us, prepare us for your soon coming. Thank you that we could gather today and worship you. Bless as we close this service and wherever we may be, Lord, please fill us with your spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for